Jonathan and Shiny Krause here with us. Yes, and when I officially introduce him, I'm going to add a little moniker to that in a second. But as if you look in your our bulletin, you'll see the missionaries whom we support as a church. And one of the things that we've decided in who we support is we want to be able to have a relationship with them. We want to know them, know their character, know their heart, and feel a spirit of unity among whom we support, because they are an extension of what God is doing with us. When we pray for them, when we put into their ministry, pray for their ministry, we're so into their ministry, and we've just come to know them, and love never fails, and we're so amazed at what God is doing there, and I know Jonathan will be able to share those things with you. Afterwards, in the back, there's a little tray somewhere with these in there. If you feel led to support them independently of what we as a church do, if you would just take this envelope and whatever God puts on your heart and just put it in the offering boxes, and we will make sure that they are blessed by it as well. So right now, I'm going to invite Dr. Jonathan Krause to come on up, because we found out he got his PhD in May. So thank you.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Good morning, church. I come to you this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Just give me a moment. Just want to get settled over here. As I came in this morning, and as I was sitting there during worship, God was speaking to me. And God was saying that Pastor Michael is the one that I've chosen, that I want him to have his own church. And I was like, but Lord, this church is not even full here. You know, God said, because when he has a new church and he takes a step in faith, I'm going to fill it for him. Because I know, and God was speaking to me, he said, because I know that he's not just about the type of person to run out there and hand tracts to people. He's the person that's about relationships. That's what I'm about. That's what my heart's about. That's why I want to bless him, because I know he's going to teach my people about relationships to win souls, not just walking up to them and just saying, oh, you know, Jesus loves you, but actually getting to know them, showing them the love of Jesus. And, you know, as I was thinking, in 6 years and visited various different churches, I've never done this before, but I'd like to present this Certificate of Appreciation to the Bayshore Christian Fellowship and Pastor Michael. Thank you, Pastor Michael.
Thank you. Wow.
God bless you. It's been 2 years since we've been here, and everything's changed. Everything. We've changed. We're no longer the same. Our ministry has changed. Amen?
Amen.
You know, the Bible says that all things old have passed away and all things have become? Amen. That's right. So I'd like to introduce my beautiful wife to you. Shiny, if you would just stand up. And our son Jace, who's now just about 2.5. He's an active little guy. You know, before he could even say a few words, he would go and pray in his own language. And me and Shiny were touched by that, you know. And he would sit there and he would, and people would come over our house in India, and he'd come up and he'd lay hands on them as we were praying for them. I said, wow, he's not even really speaking. This guy's like, it's in his own language. So, you know, train up a child in the way that they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart, Proverbs 22:6. So praise God, just a couple weeks back, I got to officiate my first wedding. You know, so it was a great opportunity to share the gospel message to a bunch of people that normally would never attend church. The work that we do in India, it's grown. I mean, praise God, we're up now to 15 centers, and you probably think, man, how does this guy do that? Well, see, the work hasn't necessarily increased for me, but the workers that I work with has increased, because now I've taken a new role. You know, so watch out if you want to get your doctorate or whatever it might be, and you want God to lift you up and you pray big prayers, because God will answer them. This is not the religion where we pray five prayers a day and expect nothing to happen. No, when we pray, we come expecting things are going to happen. Amen, church? Who believes that? Raise your hand if you believe that. Amen. I believe that. That's why I'm here this morning. I know about the other faiths. I've studied them. I studied them well. I've worked with those people very extensively the last 6 years in India. And none of them have swayed me, unlike Christianity, unlike how Jesus works. And just to give you a little example of what we do over there in India, because we live in Mumbai, India, we're here on a visit. We've been here for a couple months visiting churches while we raise support for our biggest project ever. Like I said, God is doing new things. Amen? And we are not the same as we were 2 years ago. Everything has changed, and we praise God for that. So here is our orphanage. This is our biggest change that we've got involved in since we've come here last. You know, I started off with one little room in the slums of Mumbai with people that would go to bathroom outside and use their hand and a thing of water to clean themselves. And the sicknesses and diseases that we think are eradicated from the world are like the common cold in India. And I was around those people a lot. You know, that's where I started. And I was so busy with one center. And now we've gotten to the point to where we're doing orphanage work. But we didn't just say, okay, let's just build this orphanage. Actually, it was really a God thing, because God works in connections, right, church? Yeah. Amen? And so what happened was, the guy that was Shiny's spiritual father, he was an orphan himself, grew up in an orphanage. He would go to Shiny's orphanage and he would visit with his wife and his two kids, and he'd minister to Shiny and the other kids that were orphans, because he knew what it was like. And he had started an orphanage. In fact, this one right here that you're seeing. But yet God had called him out, and God said, I want you to go to New Zealand. And he started a church there, and now he's even got his citizenship. But then we came along, and he said, I want you guys to take over my position at the orphanage. But you know what? We didn't walk into this dumbfounded, because we were already praying for this before it happened. This was just an answer to prayer. You know what I mean? So here's the orphanage building now. There's 11 kids that are here. When I first got there, everything wasn't fine and dandy. I think the foundation spiritually was good, but there were some other things, like they didn't have water, no running water. So the kids had to go carry buckets from other people's wells and bring it back over here. So I said, well, but this will be the first test. Let me pray and send out an email and see if we can actually raise enough money to get that big rig to come in, drill, do water, and put plumbing in the house and everything. Well, I think our goal was like 1,300. I sent out that email. Within 2 hours, somebody replied, I'll sponsor the whole thing. I said, wow. So I sent the email out, and I said, listen, guys, we got it. Like I said, once we get the money, I will email you back, you know, and I'll let you know when God has answered the prayer and provide it. So then I sent the email back out, but people were like, no, we want to still contribute money. And then one lady I know, her husband is the vice president of Hard Rock Cafe, pretty big position. And, you know, she's known for giving like $100,000 to different organizations. She said, she called me up. She's a family friend for many years. And she said, Johnny, don't stop. Continue this for the next 4 days. When Sunday comes, let's see how much money you can raise. Tell the people, I want to double all their gifts. Well, I was in the ministry for a couple years, and I hear of people, oh, your gifts, send them, we'll double them, and this, and it never happened to me. But here it did. It did happen, because God wants to do something new in your life today. Amen? God is no respecter of persons. You know, it's not just for me he wants to bless. He wants to bless you too. If you're a believer in Jesus, God wants to bless you today. I believe it. And so we raised a few thousand dollars, and we were able to do more than just get water for the kids. As you can see, this is when the water first started to come out. The kids were excited. You know, they couldn't thank us enough, and the relationship has just grown and prospered, and we have a board over there. We already have staff. We have volunteers that come. It's really been a blessing, and it's been growing to the point to where God is even doing new things from that orphanage. So this year, when school started, was the first year ever we were able to get every kid everything brand new. New uniforms, new shoes, new school lunch pail, new book bag, new books, new notebooks. Everything is the first year. They were so blessed. The kids were so happy. You know, these are not a bunch of ragtag orphan kids. Let me tell you, they're living a decent life now. These kids came from begging on the streets. I have been to the place to where they're on a busy street, busier than New York City. New York City's nothing compared to busyness in India. And they're sleeping right out there on the street. Cars could easily hit them. Rats come up and nip at them. It's rough out there. Beggars, these kids were living in the slums. Now they have a home, they're being blessed, they're treated with love, and most importantly, they're getting the gospel of Jesus. Amen? Amen. That's my main thing why I wanted to go to India, was to give the gospel of Jesus. This thing's not working. Yeah. Oh, there we go. I want to tell you about Wandana, who's our oldest. She's 13. I love Wandana. She's a very sweet kid. You know, she has a good heart. Wandana comes from a family where her mother and father were both Hindus. And just so happens, both her mom and dad had HIV. Sad news is that just about a month ago, we took another kid at our orphanage that has HIV for the testing, and I was just thinking, take Wandana too. And so I told them when we went out, when they were getting ready to go, I said, take Wandana too. And they took her, and her test came back positive also for Wandana. But it's not just a positive-negative test. It's a more advanced test. So, you know, I believe that it's not definite, it's not in stone, that God could heal her. And it could have been a mistake. That was her first test, but that's the news. So Wandana's a good kid. You know, she came in. Most importantly, she's accepted Jesus. She knows Scripture. I can show you videos of her reciting Scripture, but we don't have enough time today. You know, the only thing I can complain about Wandana is if she doesn't have Jace, she gets angry at the other kids because she always wants to hold them. So she's a really good big sister. She's very loving. Here's Wandana on her bed. Here's Wandana enjoying out in the park. Now, one thing about Wandana that you would never know, appears to be a normal girl, maybe, you know, HIV, could be, could not be. Let's see, you know, when the next test goes, we're praying, we're believing. And but one thing about Wandana is, call it what you want, but they said that she has a learning disability at the school. Well, Wandana's 13 and she can't read the clock, you know. But let me tell you, she wakes up before all the other kids and she'll make Indian chai for everybody. Wandana, she can't count past 11, but she can do the braids and the most beautiful hairstyles for all the kids. So Wandana's school said, okay, we can't take her back next year because we don't have anything for her. So you have to find another place. So we were talking with Wandana, and we said, Wandana, you know, we haven't told her like the labels the school put on her or anything like that. But we said, what do you want to do in the future? And you know what she said? She said, I want to live here and work here for the rest of my life. That really touched my heart, that she would say that. Because when this orphanage was started, the man that started it, Burdell, he said, I want a place that would be like my home for these kids. And I've been to many places, but I've never been to an orphanage like this. This wasn't the first place me and Shiny went to looking to step into a bigger role. But I really felt that the kids were really getting a good life. Unlike most of the other places, I would never send half of the kids out of the slums to because all they did was beat them all day and badger them. That's the sad truth of orphanages in India for the most part. So, with that said, we have 11 kids, but God put it in my heart to take in more kids because I see the fruit. I see how the kids are growing, how they're coming to Jesus, and we want to make disciples so these kids can go out and share the love of Jesus. You know, and truly, they're actually no longer orphans because now they have a family. Amen? Amen? So our vision is to build a new children's center for 20 kids. It's going to be on the same property. Let me show you. As a matter of fact, we already had the ribbon cutting. We had the groundbreaking ceremony. We had the local pastor there, all the board members. We had Bible reading, a time of Thanksgiving prayer. We really just prayed over this and committed it to the Lord. Here's the plot of land. It's right next to the building we have now with the 11 kids. This building's going in next door. Things are coming along, moving slowly. First floor's up. Here's the bottom floor. Now I see the old building over here. And here's the new building. This is going to be twice the size. Okay, it's going to have everything. This is not just a building that we just said, oh, hey, that'll make a nice, you know, children's home. No, this is a building specifically mapped out, designed on AutoCAD, all those things that we had a part of to put in. There's a prayer room. There's a study room. There's a computer room. There's a house parents room. If they have kids, it's going to be awesome. These kids are going to be blessed, whoever comes here. So with that said, I give you the opportunity to sponsor a child. We have child sponsorships, which will provide everything for the kids. They're with us 24 hours. It's not just a drop-in center. You can correlate with them. We'll put you in touch with them. They'll send you a letter from India. You can converse with them. And it's $50 a month. It really takes a lot more than that to raise these kids up, but that's what the team come together and had agreed on, 50. So I'm going to give you this story right here to kind of illustrate a point. One day, a 14-year-old girl asked her daddy, "Daddy, what are you going to get me for my 15th birthday?" And the dad said, "Oh dear, please just relax. We still have plenty time left until your birthday." When the girl was 14 years old, she fainted, and she was rushed to the hospital. A doctor came out and told her, "Dad, your daughter has a bad heart, and she's probably going to die." When she was lying in a hospital bed, she said softly, "Daddy, have they told you that I'm going to die?" The father replied, "No, honey, you're going to live," as he left the room weeping. Later she asked, "Daddy, how can you be so sure that I'm going to live?" The father said, "Because I know." A short time later, the little girl turned 15. After she was released from the hospital and recovering, she came home to find a letter on the bed which wrote, "My dearest daughter, if you're reading this letter, it means that everything went okay, just as I told you it would. A little while ago, you asked me what I was going to give you for your 15th birthday. I didn't know at the time, but my present to you was my heart." The father gave his heart so his daughter can live. The same thing Jesus did for us so that we can live. He gave us his life. So Matthew 6:21 says, "For wherever your treasure is, so your heart will be also." And one thing I found out is being a follower of Jesus is that when you align your heart with his heart, you're going to find him. He's going to be there. You're going to know his presence when you put yourself in those situations. So I'm asking you to join us in what we're doing. We're looking for volunteers. We have opportunities. We send out newsletters. We'll keep you updated. We'll let you know how your money's used. We'll let you know how the kids are progressing. We have other ministries too. We do a lot of things. We just started house churches in another city. We've expanded. Like I said, we have 15 centers. We have slum centers in three different cities. We're in Mumbai, Lonavala, and the orphanage is in Nagpur. It's all in the same state. So there's a lot of things that, you know, maybe God has put on your heart, but if it's sponsoring a child, you can find out more information about that on our website. It's loveneverfailsindia.com. So now I want to go into the Word. That was kind of like when a church comes up and does their announcements, those were my announcements. But, you know, that's not necessarily going to change you. The Word of God is going to change you. Amen, church? Praise the Lord? Praise the Lord. With election times, we see the candidates really bringing the best out of each other. or maybe the worst. You know, and I think of Isaiah 9:6. But let me just tell you about Isaiah. As I was preparing this and was praying, Isaiah is the Old Testament. But that is mentioned more in the book of Matthew than any other Old Testament book, Isaiah. It's mentioned 9 times in the book of Matthew. Do you know what Jesus' first scripture was? Which book it came from? When he started his ministry? It was Isaiah. Isaiah, I think it's 61. I have been anointed to preach the good news to the poor. Isaiah 9:6 says, "For a child is born to us, a son is given to us." A child showing that Jesus was a man, he was human. But it also says, "A son is given to us," showing his deity, how God gave his son to us. The government will rest upon his shoulders. I think this is a good scripture as we're focusing in on the elections and praying about this. But you know, this is not his world. Jesus said, "This is not my world." You know, the many people talk about the second coming of Jesus, but most people never heard about the first coming. Amen, church? This is talking about when Jesus comes back, that there's no going to be any debates. It's not going to be a democracy. Amen, church? It's not going to be sending boatloads of money over there to Iran to solve a problem. Okay? Jesus is going to be the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Amen? Do you believe it? So we can't get caught up focusing on all the issues and problems, but we have to focus not on the problems, but on the promises of the Bible. The Bible says that Jesus comes like a thief in the night, that nobody knows the time nor the hour when he's going to come. We have to live every day like Jesus is going to come, like we're getting ready to go to heaven. We can't be focused on Hillary or Donald. I know that neither one of them are, you know, anything like Jesus. And when I think about it, and I watch this stuff, I only think that, Lord, please let me not be conformed to the ways of the world, but let my mind be transformed by the renewing of your word. We have to constantly be in the Word, church. A missionary was sailing home after spending 40 years in Africa. On the ship with him was President Teddy Roosevelt. Returning from a safari, as the ocean liner pulled into the docks of New York City, thousands of people were there cheering. Bands were playing, reporters were waiting, and everyone was saying, "Wow, Teddy Roosevelt killed a rhino and an elephant." The missionary turned to his wife and he said, "You know, honey, I'm a little bit bummed and bitter." After 2 weeks of big game hunting, Teddy Roosevelt kills a rhino and an elephant, and everybody's here to celebrate him. We spent the last 40 years of our life laying it down in the jungles of Africa, sharing about Jesus, and no one's here to welcome us. That night, the Lord spoke to the missionary's heart, and he said, "You're not home yet." Amen? Amen. Please open up to Romans 15. Romans 15, verse 16. See, this is not our home. Our citizenship is in heaven. Jesus said that, "I have gone before you to prepare a home for you. My Father has many rooms. The streets are paved with gold." Everybody here, they're killing people for gold. And up there in heaven, God's just laying it down to walk on. It's a different value system. We have to set our minds to the things of the Bible. Romans 15, verse 16 says, I am a special messenger from Jesus Christ to you Gentiles. I bring you the good news so that I might present to you an acceptable offering to God, made holy by the Holy Spirit. So I have reason to be enthusiastic about all Jesus has done through me in my service to God. Yet I dare not boast about anything except what Christ has done through me, bringing the Gentiles to God by my message and by the way I worked among them. Now, this is the key verse right here, 19. They were convinced by the power of miraculous signs and wonders and by the power of God's Holy Spirit. Didn't say that they were convinced because we were so nice and loving. No. Many times I've had Hindu, Muslim neighbors, they were nicer than me. But faith doesn't come by seeing somebody that's so nice and loving. I think that's good, but faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. They were convinced by the miraculous signs and wonders by the power of God's Spirit. Why is it, church, that I see so many people on Facebook that all they want to do is persecute other Christians? Is that a way to win the lost world? I think the worst thing is when we persecute other believers. Because, you know, one time I went into a mosque and the imam said to me, I went on an outreach to minister, and the imam said to me, oh, you Christians, you got so many different sects. Oh, there's so many of you. You're so divided. We only have two. But you know what? He's true. It doesn't say in the Bible, the First Reformed Church of Corinthians, or Corinth, okay? It doesn't say the Second Baptist Church of Philadelphia. No, there was one church, one unity, one spirit, one God, you know? The point where I'm getting to is, why are the things of the Bible so opposed? It says by signs and wonders, by miracles, by things of the Holy Spirit, people are going to believe. Do people believe because God is so mean and angry at them? No, they're called forth because of the love of God. We love Him because He loved us first. It's by His goodness that He draws us in. You know what? If you have a sickness and you get healed, are you going to think God's bad or God's good? God's good. If you have a situation and somebody speaks into your life and gives you a prophetic utterance, and now you have wisdom, are you going to be thanking God, or are you going to say, that God's not for me? You're going to be like, man, this God's awesome. He's great. But why are so many people opposed to the things of God? These are things that are in the Bible. The gifts of the Spirit are in this Bible. It's not something we made up. I once had a friend, and we used to go to the same church, and there came a point to where they just didn't want to hear about the gifts of the Spirit, and I found out they were against it because I didn't even know about it. I was learning myself. And they're like, oh, that doesn't exist. So one time, my friend had said to me, oh, that's a certain church names thing. I said, no, that's not a certain church thing. That's a Word of God thing, you know? Really, so we have to get back to the basics and see that when we stick to the Bible, those things are going to work. We got ISIS trying to take over. We got a lady that wants to bring over hundreds and thousands of Muslims that oppose everything we believe in to come help them, yet people that are on Medicaid or the people that are on Social Security, they're saying it's going to run out. But how do we have money to pay for all these people and provide them housing and everything? How is that a wise decision? You know, and same thing with Hitler. When he came out, he went about things they never really thought it was as bad as it was, but then 6 million people died, and even a lot of people don't even agree with it. You know, we have to take a stand for righteousness. You know, sometimes it's going to irk people the wrong way, but we have to stand. We have to stand up for what we believe in, what God has put in our heart. you know, bearing a cross, it can get heavy. You know what I mean? The weight of the cross gets very heavy at times. C.H. Spurgeon, he was asked how to defend the Bible. And he said that, you know, I know that not a lot of people are so equipped doctrinally about everything about the Bible, or, you know, even how to do it in the Greek or the Hebrew and how to break it down. He said they maybe not everybody will understand it, but he said you defend the Bible like you would a roaring lion. You just open the cage and let it out. The Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword, cutting through the bone and marrow, the soul and spirit. When we use God's Word, you know, when I minister to Muslims in India, okay, I would say, oh, what's your favorite scripture out the Quran? And most of the time they'll say, I don't know because I don't understand Arabic. I'm like, okay, thinking in my mind, okay, you follow religion? I wonder why so many radicals follow this. They don't even know it's the blind leading the blind. So then I'll say, can I share mine with you? And I'll just think of a scripture what the Holy Spirit puts on my heart. It's a great way to share the gospel with Muslims. There was a German shepherd that was pregnant with puppies. One day the dog was walking across the street and got hit by a car. Both of its back legs were broken. But the dog was able to drag herself off to the street and back to the house. As the weeks went by and slowly the dog recovered, her legs finally healed, but because they weren't properly reset, all she could do was drag her back's legs. She couldn't walk properly. Eventually, she had puppies. They seemed healthy and whole, but several weeks later, when they started walking, they dragged their legs just like the mom did. So the owner was baffled and thought, oh, maybe during the accident, the puppies got hurt. So the owner took the puppies to the vet and said, they're just dragging their legs. Are they injured? So the doctor, the vet, overlooked the dogs and said, oh, wow, there's nothing wrong with them. They're absolutely fine. The puppies were simply copying their mother. That's all they had seen modeled in their mind, and that's how they were supposed to walk. Let's not be like the people that are not following the Bible. You know, there's a girl, she wrote a book called Kisses from Katie. She was on a mission and went to Africa. She was like 20 years old, okay? She had to fight with her parents to get over there because they wanted her to stay here, do college, you know, get married and live the American dream. But somehow she finally convinced them to let her go. 20 years old, this girl, Katie, adopted 14 kids legally. So she got kind of famous because not many people do that. And then she started a ministry. You know, the thing that really I admired about her, one day I was listening to her on like a CBN talk show and they were interviewing her and they said, wow, this is really amazing what you do. She's like, not really. I'm just doing the things that I read in the Bible. You know, if we would get back to the basics and like Romans 15 says, they were convinced by the power of the miraculous signs and wonders and by the power of God's Holy Spirit. Who wants the power of the Holy Spirit today? Who wants to be able to lay their hands on somebody and they get healed from a sickness? This is not over our head, guys. The Bible says, lay your hands on the sick and they'll be healed. The Bible says to anoint oil, you know, and they'll be healed. But why, when we do these things, people look at us with the googly eyes and the crooked necks? Who cares? We're not doing this to impress them. We're doing this because this is what the Bible says. It's not a buffet, you know, when it says go around and heal the sick. No, that's not me. But when the Bible says, come all to me who are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's me. Hey, that's me. But when it says, go around, heal the sick, cast out demons, okay, cleanse the lepers, open the eyes of the blind, raise the dead, that's not me. We don't do that here. We're not like that. That's that other church. That's why ISIS is making ground. Because how many of those people do you actually think ever met a genuine Christian? I bet it's very few. I bet it's very few. You know, it's not about just going out there and handing out a tract and saying, oh, here you go. Because a lot of times, where are those tracts going to go? They're just going to throw it out. But God has ordained us. He, Jesus, has ordained us for a ministry. Here's a trick question. I've asked it before. How many of you are missionaries? Raise your hand. Okay. You guys are as much of a missionary as I am, because you all have a mission from God. Amen? How many of you are in full-time ministry? Raise your hand. How many, trick question, how many of you are in full-time ministry? Raise your hand. All of you. You all have a plan and a purpose from God to reach the lost. It's not like the buffet, take it or leave it. We are commanded to share the gospel. Amen, church? You want to see the power of the Holy Spirit? I can tell when I'm feeling like something's not right. Because then I have to look and check myself. When was the last time I shared about Jesus with somebody? You know, D.L. Moody, he's a very famous soul winner. He was actually a shoe salesman as he started out. But God doesn't care where you came from. He doesn't care where you came from. He only cares where you're going. You know, he had like one of the most effective ministries at winning souls, D.L. Moody. How many of you have heard of him? Just raise your hand. You know, he purposed in his heart that every day he was at least going to share Jesus with at least one person. So a day came by, and he, because of his schedule, he didn't get to share. So it was 12 midnight. And he said, I got to do this. So he went out, and he got this guy. And then he said, sir, are you ready for heaven? And the man said, mind your business. And you know what D.L. Moody replied? This is my business. Amen? How many of us have the authority like that? Do you think he had the power of the Holy Spirit on him? Do you think he was anointed? Do you think signs and wonders followed his ministry? We're still talking about him today. I mean, wow. What do we have to do for the Holy Spirit to move in us? What do we have to do? We have to focus on this book right here. Get into the Word of God, and the Word of God will get into you. It's not about just praying. Praying's nice, okay? Because I grew up, and my mom used to have a lot of prayer meetings at our house. But at 17, my mom checked out and became a full-time heroin addict with a needle. I was raised going to the church, but I don't remember my mom reading the Bible. I remember her praying. I remember that. I don't remember her teaching me any scriptures. I never really learned the scriptures until later on in life, you know? So I've seen it firsthand that if you don't have the Bible and the Word, you don't have the power of God. It's like going to hell and fighting a battle with the water gun. Do you think we'll be effective? You see, church, I speak of this because I know God has anointed you guys. I know you have a special calling at this church. I know you're seeking for more. I can sense it. And when I first came in today, I didn't have any peace because I got here pretty much before all you guys to set up. But then as the people started to come in, as the worship started to go and the incense started to flow up to heaven, the peace came on me. And I knew you guys were seeking after the Lord. So I'm going to say it again. Who here wants to have the power of the Holy Spirit? Amen. It starts with the desire. You know, when I first went to India 6 years ago, I didn't even have the gift of tongues. Man, was I ill-equipped. But it didn't happen by doing nothing. You know, because we have to take that step out in faith. You know, when I stepped out and then when I went for 2 months just to kind of see what it was about, but I knew in my heart I was going to go back for years. I came back and then that gift came upon me. You know, but I always desired prophecy. And Paul says that all of you should desire prophecy. It's not something so far-fetched. It's just a Holy Spirit thing. Maybe we don't understand it in the natural. So then I would be there in these little slums and I would be praying for people and visions would just overtake me. And God would just start speaking through me. And people I was with were just like, oh, wow, I didn't know you were a prophet. I said, neither did I. I didn't know that either. I kid you not. I was like, wow, this is amazing. People were turning to God. Then one day, some lady came up to me and she said she had a dream. And I was like, oh boy. Because I didn't always have the best experiences with women when I first went to India because I was single. You know, they were quick because they do arranged marriage. Like, hey, you want to marry me? So I was like, okay, tell me. She said, I had a dream that you had the gift of healing and that God was healing people through you. You know what? That opened up my eyes a little bit. That it wasn't so far away like I thought for only the few people had those gifts. I said, wow, God could work that through me to bless his people. But you know, as the ministry is called Love Never Fails International, it's all about love. It's all about loving one another. And you guys got that here. I sense the love. I feel the love. I know Pastor Michael. We haven't been here for 2 years, but we keep in touch. You know, we touch base and everything. And we're really blessed to come here. You know, as I look out, I just see, you know, different people with different giftings. I just see that this lady right here, you have the gift of prophecy. God has put that on you. And he wants you to use it. He wants you to use it to edify the body of Christ. Not everybody in here is seeking the Lord the same as all of you. Because, you know, the evil spirit came in to Judas right when he was next to Jesus. But don't be discouraged by that. As my mentor told me, don't focus on the lost. I'm sorry, don't focus on the saved. Focus on the lost. God brought those people here for a reason. Your light can outshine their darkness. So we're not here to just judge one another, you know, because 10 years from now, the weakest Christian in here could be the strongest. Amen? And the strongest Christian in here could be the weakest. I mean, God forbid, but we know it's a possibility. Just want to go over the scripture, Romans 15:19 again. And they were convinced by the power of miraculous signs and wonders and by the power of God's Holy Spirit. Let me ask you again, who here wants a touch from God? Who here wants a touch from the Holy Spirit? Who here came expecting? Who here came asking? Who here came in need? Amen. Amen. So I want to just open it up just for a time of prayer, if that's okay with Pastor Michael. If we can just pray and just want for you to take a step of faith that if you're sensing that the Lord is, he wants to use you to say something prophetically to the church. If you need a touch from the Father, if you need a touch from heaven, that you can come down here, you can do that. You know, because this is not about a dried up version of Christianity. We serve a living God. He is alive and well. You know, he is moving powerfully today. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I just sense that you have come out of a hardship and that you have people around you and that you're very thankful for them. I could just see them like holding your elbows to kind of keep you in place. And how those people, they have been like a crutch for you. You know, and that's how we're supposed to be for the body of Christ.
So on the money. This is the first time I've been to church since May. I've been in the hospital. I went in summer, and I was hospitalized most of the time, so I came out in fall. Mm-hmm. So grateful that I have this church.
Amen.
And how much I missed it. And you know, I, and I have cancer. I have a lot of stuff going on, and it's affecting me. I'm starting to have, starting to keep my butt, but I shouldn't let it keep my butt because God's with me, right? So anyway, I was really depressed. I really thought, like, if I have to live like this anymore, I don't want to live. And I told Tiffany that. I was really crying. She reached out to me, and she just said, Robin, just if you can't get to church, just get back to watch, listen to your music, your spiritual music. Listen to the Word of God. Read the Holy Spirit, read the Holy Bible. And I'm telling you, when I came in here, I realized, and I was like, well, where's God? Why is all this happening to me? I love God. I love Jesus. And then I realized, I was like, why isn't God with me? And I realized it's not that God's not with me. I wasn't looking for God.
Yes.
He didn't leave me. I left him.
Yes. And you know what? I just have to stop you now because I'm just sensing the Lord, and he wants to say, have you spoken to that cancer?
I'm starting to. I'm starting to because I know that I have to take authority. God's authority that he's given me.
Amen.
Until get the heck, hit the road.
Amen. Never met you before. God is alive. He wants to work in us. A lot of times we just have to take that step out in faith, and that's where we will find him. When we step out, we don't have to know the direction. Abraham was the father of faith, and God called him 3 days in the middle of nowhere. He got up off his rocking chair and went out. He went out, and he was shown where he needed to be. God provided for him. I just sense this guy right here, you have a real gifting in the ministry. What's your name? You in the orange shirt, reddish shirt? Yeah, yeah. Jacob, God's sharpening it. He's working on it. He's maturing you. He wants you to continue to go down that direction. Opportunities are going to open. He says he wants you to take those opportunities. Those are going to be for his glory, not yours. He's going to humble you greatly. He said that the way up is to go down in humility. I just feel like this guy right here needs a touch. What's your name? Bill, I just feel the Lord just said to touch you and just pray. Name of Jesus, Lord. I command that evil spirit, the evil spirit that's been hindering you to flee in Jesus' name. He's been trying to attack you, but no weapon formed against you will prosper. Every tongue that rises up against you, he shall condemn. I'm not calling anybody out. I don't put people's business out there. Because God knows, I'm here to love and encourage, but there's things that we see in the spirit realm that we can't always see in the natural, and sometimes God needs to bring somebody in our path. It's a biblical thing. It's a biblical thing how God has worked, how he's used the disciples and his people to go out and heal the sick. Right now, I just want to pray for Pastor Michael because I'm just hearing that word, faithfulness. Faithfulness. Is anybody else hearing that word faithfulness? I'm just hearing that word. I just want to pray for him. If anybody wants to come over, just lift him up and just put your hand on him. And this is a very important thing right here. He is your leader. The Bible says pray for your leaders. We honor you, Pastor Michael, because you honor the word of God, that you are a great shepherd. Your love, it goes very far for these people. They're very thankful for you. They really adore you. They see your flaws, but they oversee your flaws. We know that even though we're ministry leaders, that we're not perfect. God has made us like that because he doesn't want us to be too dependent on ourselves. He wants us to utilize the body of Christ as ministry leaders. There's things that you can do, Pastor Michael, that God has gifted and talented you. He poured into you, but there's other people too that can do those things better in some areas, and there's certain things why he put you here that only you can do. That's why he has appointed you as the pastor, as the shepherd. We don't see where the Bible says that it's wolves and shepherd clothing. No, it says sheep's clothing. He's not against you. If he's ever rebuked you, just take it from the Lord. The Lord was speaking to you. These are things the Lord's just speaking in my spirit that you needed that. That was from God. Pastor Michael was only being obedient, that you should thank him. You should continue to pray for him. Yes, in the name of Jesus, Lord. Father, we just lift up Pastor Michael. I just come against every demonic spirit that would try to discourage him. Oh, Lord Jesus, Father, I just pray for even a mightier portion of your signs and wonders, Lord, as he's seeking, desiring, Lord. And Father, I know he's seeking and desiring because he wants to glorify your name. Oh, Lord, he wants to lift up the body of Christ, Lord. He wants to beautify your bride, Lord. Father, oh Lord Jesus, Father, we just pray, Lord, that this man, that he would have no lack, Lord. Father God, I pray, Lord, that you would give him the plan, Father, for a new church, Lord. Father, that you would download the vision in his spirit, Lord. Oh, Father, just show him what you have for him, for in store for him. God's just saying that it's small beginnings right now from where he wants to bring you, that this is nothing compared to the future he has for you. Oh, Father God, I pray that the spirit of wisdom would rest heavily over him, Lord. The spirit of wisdom, Lord, beyond what you gave Solomon, Lord, more like a Jesus spirit of wisdom, Lord. Father, that it would baffle the natural mind, Lord. Oh, Father God, that you would continue to just give him that authority to lead, Lord, in authority, Father. Father, under authority. Yes, yes, that he's under the authority of the Lord God. Lord, Father, we just thank you for his obedience, Lord. Father, I just pray that even more signs and wonders would follow, Lord. Father, that you continue to open up doors with new connections, Father, to show him direction, Lord. And from the north to the south, to the east to the west, I call forth everyone that's supposed to be in his destiny. We thank you, Lord, Father God. We just bless this Bayshore Christian Fellowship, Lord. It is just a small beginning, but God says, do not despise small beginnings. This is where big things start. It's in prayer. It's coming to my feet. It's prophetically uttering those things is where they're going to come about. We thank you for that new church, Lord. We thank you for the new families that are coming in that are going to be touched. Their minds going to be transformed. The veil is going to be lifted from their eyes. The lies are going to stop, Lord. Father, I see you guys going out to a community. You're going out to the community. You're loving on them. Relationships are being made. Souls are being won. It's not about going out to the millions. It starts with the one. It's the one. The Lord, he left the 99 for the one. Value the one. Value it. Value the one. Do not lose focus. It's not about the big numbers. Numbers are going to come for you, Pastor Michael. They're going to come. You're going to see a flux, an increase in your ministry. The Lord wants you to know that he's behind you. He wants you to take this step out for faith. He's going to move you out of your full-time job in corporate world. He's moving you into full-time ministry. You're not to worry. Your salary is going to increase. He's your Jehovah Jireh. It's not going to decrease. Yes, he has blessed you. He's shown you his faithfulness that when you give, he will replace it with better. When you give, he will replace it with better. When you give from your heart in faith, he's going to give you better because that's how he is. He's not a God that has rubbed the lamp and he's a God of principles. This is in his Bible. We thank you for honoring him. We bless you in the name of Jesus. Bless you in the name of Jesus. Yes, thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I just want, I know it's getting late and time is there, but I'm just sensing just to pray for this lady over here. You know, she said that she had a sickness, you know, and but Jesus, he doesn't do healing now because he already did healing 2,000 years ago. We have to claim that. We have to, you know, show the world that God, He wants you healed. He wants you healthy. This is his scripture. He says that he bore your sicknesses on the cross. You know, if anybody's coming here hurting today, you know, we're here. We pray for you. We lift you up. We expect God to make a change through prayer. We don't just pray to pray. We pray so that a change would happen. So if anybody wants to come over, what's your name?
Robin.
And just lay a hand on Robin.
I am a prayer hog.
Amen. Well, you know what? I'm just seeing like an octopus, and it's like every time you were prayed for, another arm was chopped off of that thing. And so we're just going to pray and just believe that the whole thing is just going to be released from you.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We praise you for what you're going to do, Lord. You're faithful, Lord, time and time again, Lord. Oh, Father, there is none like you, Lord. You're the living God. You're our Messiah. You're our healer, Lord. You're the love of our life, Lord. We love you. We praise you, Jesus. Father, I just speak over this cancer. I command you to come out in the name of Jesus and never come in this body ever again. Be healed right now. I speak over those cells. I speak over the blood. I speak the cleansing of the blood. I speak that your blood would be removed and it would be filled with the blood of Jesus. In the Bible, it says that it's no longer you that lives, but it's Christ Jesus who lives in you. Jesus, I know you don't have cancer. You're alive and well. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells in you. No sickness or disease can dwell in this body. I speak a life-saving miracle, the healing over your body right now, from the top of your head down to the soles of your feet, in the name of Jesus. Body be healed. Sickness be gone. We command you to flee and never, never come back. In Jesus' name. I claim the promises of Psalm 91 that you will live a long, prosperous life. A long, prosperous life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. We know you're healed. We declare it. Jesus said to go around healing the sick, cleansing the lepers, opening up the eyes of the blind, raising the dead. This is a small task for you, God. Father, we believe you. We know you're faithful. And we wait to hear the good report, Lord. A good report, Lord. And the report is in. And God says that you are healed in Jesus' name. Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
Amen. It's God who does everything. Well, thank you, everybody. I really appreciate your time. Although we have to close out because time has gone long, it doesn't stop here. It continues going on and on and on. Thank you so much, Pastor Michael, for the opportunity.
Amen. Jonathan, Shiny, and Jace will be in the back if you wanted to speak with them and see some of the stuff they have out there. Oh, man, we're just so, so grateful. And before pray over you and dismiss you, just feel led to just share this as the Holy Spirit was speaking to me as we were praying. This week, some of you are going to see the restoration of what the locusts have taken. And I want to encourage you that when it happens, please call me, text me, email me. I want to get your testimony because it's going to happen throughout the week and we want to give God glory right away. So as things happen, contact me, myself or my wife, as soon as you have that testimony revealed. Let's give God glory, and we want to just come together next week and just share in all the testimonies of what God is doing in our lives. So we just give him glory. And Jonathan, Shiny, and Jace, we thank you guys. Would you stand with us, please?